You are about to listen to episode 30 of Musically Meditated. A special thanks to Justin Juice Wallace, Nick Gloom, Michael Massengill, Alex, who I don't think he ever gave his last name. Also this episode, a very special thanks to Area Sheet Metal. They sponsored the show this week, and we are grateful. Thanks, guys. If you have any questions about Area Sheet Metal, you can go to www.areasheetmetal.com. You can also call the offices at 219-942-7700. Their address is in Hobart, Indiana at 409 South Shelby Street, Hobart, Indiana 46342. Thanks, guys. Last piece of housekeeping. If you are listening, please, if you have not already done so, subscribe to the YouTube channel for Musically Meditated. Please subscribe to the iTunes channel of Musically Meditated. If you want to see what other shows the Green Door Network is doing, you could look up Green Door Network on iTunes and also subscribe to that. And listen to shows like Juice Pro Wrestling, Pricks on Flicks, Would You Rather Podcast, Stephanie's Train Travels, and a bunch of other ones that are coming. You could also contact Joe at musicallymeditated@gmail.com. Remember to join the Facebook page, the Instagram page. Just interact with us. Let Joe know what you're thinking, and let's grow this thing. It's been awesome so far, and let's just keep it going. Thank you very much to everybody who has supported us. Joe and I have a hell of a time doing it, and it's pretty amazing journey to watch this thing grow. Thank you, and yeah, enjoy episode 30. Tool Lateralis birthday episode.
Musically Meditated.
Musically Meditated. Musically Meditated.
All right, welcome to Musically Meditated. Real quick, please share Musically Meditated with all your friends and family and your enemies. This is a special birthday episode for the album by Tool, Lateralis, that was released May 15th, 2001. And that date is actually really important, isn't it, Sutton? Isn't May 15th kind of important?
It's kind of important.
Why is that?
I don't know. All these like amazing, genius style, super charming, super good looking humans usually are born on that day. It's some kind of like cosmic...
Taurus? It's like a Taurus thing, isn't it?
It's just super special.
It's super special.
I don't have good words.
It is. But why is that? Whose birthday? Whose birthday is on May 15th?
I don't know. Whose birthday is it, Joe?
You tell me.
You tell me.
Justin Wallace, you tell us.
Whose birthday is it?
Who?
Nick Gloom, tell us. Whose birthday is it?
Happy birthday, Lateralis. Right? Happy birthday, Joe Riley.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Srenton.
Thanks, man. Oh, man, that was nice. And going into that, we have guests tonight. We have Nick Gloom here with us. He's been on before. He was here episode 19. We have Justin Wallace. He has his own podcast, Juice Pro Wrestling. Check it out.
Subscriber,
dog. And we also have Alex with us, my homie Alex. He's going to jump on here in a little bit. But what we're going to get into is Tool Lateralis, and it's crazy because it's 17 years old.
Fucking old, man.
It's old.
Yeah.
It's really old. And I want to get into that right away is like where we were at in our lives.
High school, fresh out of high school. 17 years ago. You know?
Yeah, it was like that summer for...
transitioning.
Yeah, transitional summer for Wallace and I. Like we just got done with high school, going to start college. And I really remember that. Like it was at the very end of high school, but when that bass line came out from Schism.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows that bass line, but that bass line was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. I learned how to play that.
Do you still know how to play it?
I still tinker with it, dude. It's a great warm up.
Nick, do you know how to play it?
Yeah, we should have a bass op. We should have brought all of our.
That was always a hard one for me to like try the little flick. Wallace, give us a little impress. Like, do it.
All right. That was it.
That was a little dirty.
He shoots, he scores.
And another thing too, Area Sheet Metal is sponsoring us tonight. So thank you, Area Sheet
Metal.
Shout
out to Area Sheet Metal.
We really appreciate
quality
that.
Quality HVAC work.
Quality 10 knockers, quality union shop. And you know, it goes together. It goes together with Tool, because Tool always had that like industrial vibe.
Yeah, you use tools in HVAC, you know. You listen to Tool while you use those tools.
You're a tool.
I am.
But yeah, so it's a happy birthday episode. As far as the stories go, Wallace, tell me where you were at in that May of 2001. What was going on?
Oh, man.
And get into some stories, too. Like, I think we all went to that particular tour.
I didn't. I've never, unfortunately.
But what was your story with trying to go to that tour?
Well, no, that tour. What the fuck was it? I know I got shisted out of that one, too.
Maybe I just didn't have the money. I was young or something, you know, I don't know. But I remember that particular time, like you said, like going that summer of like 2001. And that was like that album. It came out. I think Weezer had put out the Green album. 311 did that. From Chaos came out.
Deftones' White Pony was really big, like the summer before,
right?
Remember?
Right. And like, it was more of a wintry album anyway. It was kind of, it's like a good both.
Yeah, but this one is a really good spring album because Tool always reminds me of May. Maybe
it reminds
it's because
me
of this
the
album.
Summer being an irresponsible like kid who just graduated high school, like you said, going into college and just like, what are you gonna do every day? Like, you know, I'm gonna take it easy for a month or two and listen to Tool and extracurricular activities, you know.
Micro dots.
Yeah. A lot of partying. And now I'm just, oh man, it just takes me back to that time in my life, you know.
Right on. How about you, Nick? Where were you at?
I'm a little bit younger than you guys.
Oh
man. Oh. I was six, dating us.
I was 16.
Yeah, don't date us.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember like listening to the radio just to hear that song constantly till I finally had the $16 to go pick up the record. I don't think I got that summer or that record till the end
Remember,
of summer.
Wasn't there some kind of special packaging for that album?
Yeah, there was. We'll get into this too. Let's do it right now. What's the artist's name again?
Alex Gray.
So when you bought the album, remember it was clear, the CD?
Yeah, that's
And then it looked like one of those old science. Remember, like back in the day,
it's like an anatomy
thing. Thank you. But it had like a weird trippy vibe to it too, didn't it?
Yeah.
Each page was like translucent, but you peel it back and get deeper and deeper into the and it,
like the old medical books, like
right, like an old like Grey's Anatomy,
when
and
you're
at the very
the frogs.
At the very last page is just I think it was just like the skeleton with the brain.
Yeah, it was like the whole human nervous system.
Yeah, right, sure. The spine.
There's the
whole spiral thing was a huge thing. There was also a thing too when the first like so many pressings of that, there was a lot of stuff that was spelled wrong on it. Mm. And I remember one of my friends had one of the like, you know, 5,000 copies that was spelled wrong. It was spelled lateralis with an I instead of a U at the end.
Does Tom Lounges and shout out to Tom Lounges
and the record store.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the track names were wrong. It was wild, man. I didn't get one of those, but I remember that was a big deal too. Like,
right? I remember I got it when it first came out. I was dating, her mom got it for me because I was so pumped up. Mm-hmm. And then it was my birthday, and it came out, and they got that for me, like the whole family.
Yeah,
and that was cool. Like looking back, like that was a really good time in my life. Alex Lyle, where were you at, man, when this came out?
First time I heard Schism on the radio.
Yeah, get close to the mic.
Get please. Right in there.
Yeah, get close.
Your first micro schism.
I think I was being driven somewhere with my mom listening to the fucking radio, man. I was
the same, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I was going into high school. That was like
middle school for you, right?
8th grade.
Okay. Tenderoni over here.
Yeah. Very. But I mean, it was, do you remember Schism too when the bass line came out?
For sure.
And was everybody,
I remember the first time I heard it on the radio. Yeah, I was going down Grand Boulevard towards 30.
See, look at that. That's like when Kennedy got shot. People,
bullet.
People know where they were at the first time they heard this album. That's why it's such a big deal, and that's why we have so many people here to talk about it. I mean, seriously, that was it's a great album. It's my favorite Tool album. I'll put it out there.
Sure. That was up until this gap in album.
Yeah, we'll see.
Releasing
what
comes up. That was the longest period they had between album because like Enema felt like it was forever. And then that, you know, I was like, when the hell is Tool going to put an album out, you know?
Yeah, I think they were all the, after Enema, they were all kind of like 5-6 years gaps. There was the same amount of time between Lateralis and 10,000 Days, I believe.
Yeah, some around there.
And now it's like they've doubled that.
Yeah,
They've doubled that gap now. But
2006. Yeah,
it was 2006.
So
that
5 years.
Had great
years,
packaging as well.
Yeah, but Lateralis, packages. The whole packaging, the artwork, that was the first time I ever saw Alex Gray. You know, it had this very trippy vibe to it. And, you know, what separates the good albums from the weak ones is it's very good from start to finish. I know, like, the last three tracks are kind of Tool.
Watch your mouth. Watch
they get a little artsy
it,
on
it's
it.
Getting
watch
a little
your
artsy
mouth.
Fartsy. Look at Nick Loom don't like that. But, yeah, it's getting a little artsy fartsy. But I love Tool. I love Tool. Let's get into, Nick, when you saw him for this tour. Because I know myself, you, and Alex, we all went to this tour.
Yeah,
where was it at? Because we were talking about this earlier.
I wish I remember the venue. I was somewhere in Wisconsin.
Let's hear about that. I saw him in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty rad. If I could give like a precursor, if I could go back a little bit. My uncle, he's like 6 years older than me, And he was always a huge influence on me as a kid, you know, figuring out music and stuff. He bought me Undertow when I was like 9 years old, and I was like scared of it. It was hard to listen to, you know. It had that weird red like rib cage album cover. I packed that album away for a few years, but that was his like, all right, man, it's time you get into Tool. And I listened to Undertow like a year before Lateralis came out, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, this is going somewhere. Anyway, he drug me up to Wisconsin, and we got these like crazy, incredible like handicap seats. We were right on the side of the stage, and it just, I mean, if you've never seen Tool, it's a rock show, but it's so much more than that.
It's for people who take psychedelics and like to get psychedelic and furry.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe that would enhance it, sure. But it's just everything about it is like...
Ravers have ecstasy. We have Tool.
Sure.
Metalheads have Tool. But Wallace, what was your story, though? I know you didn't get the... You never got to see him, right?
No, I've seen A Perfect Circle.
But you went to try to get tickets for this show.
No, it was actually 10,000 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, my bad.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, but I thought there was a story. All right, I'll get into my story.
All right, go to yours.
And Alex confirmed this earlier. He confirmed it earlier. It was at the United Center. Now I don't remember who opened, but he said it was Tomahawk.
I believe him. I think that's true.
Okay.
I think that's true. I remember a bunch of hairy guys in like hockey jerseys just I didn't care about it.
Or was it wasn't Meshuggah?
Dude,
it wasn't
here's the list of bands they toured with from 2001 to 2002. There's Cortisone,
nope.
Phantomus, Cosmic Psychos, King Crimson, The Melvins, Meshuggah, Pablo, Tomahawk, and Tricky.
See, I thought it was Meshuggah until you said Tomahawk. Now I think it's Tomahawk. Now he's saying
it could have been. Well, see,
yeah, it was different dates. It was different dates.
Right.
They could have split. They could have split the tour.
Now I don't know. I was with you, man, but now I don't know because I thought it was Meshuggah originally. Yeah, could have been different.
Do you remember the date?
No, man.
I know it was.
That's a Tool fan. Remember the date? No, but it was
bad. Well, here's my story.
Wait a minute. I think I saw him in like September because 9/11 was 2001, right? And I feel like it was right in that time period.
It was.
Like, yeah. I think.
I remember fucking Ed McCaffrey getting his leg broken.
Get real close to the mic. Mike won't pick any of this up. Yeah. Get real close.
I remember
close.
Ed McCaffrey's leg getting broken.
Closer.
Yeah, real close. Forget
about it.
Ed McCaffrey broke his leg on 9/11.
No, the day before.
Oh.
Okay. Really? You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. All I really remember about that is I went with a couple of friends. I know I went with my friend Mike Paris, rest in peace. Ricky Potney, rest in peace. And I believe Jimmy Martinez was with us.
Shout out to the Cube.
To the Cube, right? Yeah. Wow, yeah. But I don't remember a lot of details. We all tuned in and dropped out. I don't know how you want to take that, but it is what it is.
We get it.
You can connect
Tool
the you can connect the micro dots, you know, back then. But it was a great time. It was a great show. It was super loud, and it was the United Center. I think it was the United Center. Damn, look at Stretton. He's got it. He's got the audio figured out.
Alex is in. He's live.
Alex, where were you sitting though for that?
With Stretton.
I had terrible seats.
Sitting
I was
with
like
Stretton.
Facing the stage.
Put that mic by your mouth, Holmes. Thank you.
Facing the stage, I was probably like upper deck, left corner. It was terrible seats.
I don't remember like the song list. I don't, you know, set list, nothing.
The thing that I remember most about that show was they were playing something and Adam Jones was just playing these four notes over and over again. And one by one, you know, the rest of the band walked out the stage and it was just kind of him like in an intermissionary sort of situation where he was just playing these four notes over and over again. I don't know if he did this at the United Center, if you guys remember this. And then the weird things from the Schism video, it was like a chick and a dude came out painted like those creatures and they were like walking yeah. like backwards crab and hung Pizza! Upside down and like but and Adam Jones just looked like a superhero up there. He played the same four notes for fucking 20 minutes and dude. I was just like
Danny Carey always had like a crazy their whole stage setup was different for Tool. Like he would be more up towards the front to the right with the drums instead of in the back, and then like he would always wear like basketball jerseys
what,
and like
Maynard
shorts
on a platform
and shit.
A lot
yeah,
too.
Dressed up in a like, Lakers uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Kansas City. He wears Kansas City.
And you would never know what you know Maynard was going to do. Is he going to wear like a cowboy hat or
a
bra? Like paint maybe. His body like a constellation
yeah.
or something?
Chicken outfit.
Right. Chicken outfit. But yeah, man, those are some cool stories. I'm feeling it. I wish I could remember more, but it's been such a long time ago.
Can we get other stories of, you know, I mean.
I just want to focus on Lateralis.
Other stories of Maynard in his vineyards.
All right, let's do that. Let's talk about
drinking that shit last weekend.
Is it good?
Let's transition into that as far as Maynard goes in a perfect circle. Wallace, we went to that show. That was like 2004.
Yeah, that was the second
Not the
album.
Same.
Not the same.
It's not the same. But it's still, that fact was cool for me because it's seeing Maynard. I didn't get to see Soundgarden, but I saw Audioslave.
I was just going to say, that's like being a big Soundgarden fan and then seeing Audioslave.
That's exactly. But, you know,
right, sucks,
you know.
I had a good time at that show. That was at the UIC.
It was a great show, and that album's really great. It's really gloomy and... There you go.
I don't.
It's all drugged out. It's all about drugs.
Yeah, I'm not gonna bag on a Perfect Circle, but
yeah,
no. I like their first album. That's the thing. Like, I remember when I was younger, everybody loved Tool, and they put them on a pedestal.
Yeah,
and I was kind of cool with it.
Pedestal.
But when Maynard finally came on Passenger, I was like, all right, I'm on
that
board.
Was the shit, dude.
And then Lateralis came out, and I was like, oh, I'm totally on board, and it's still their best album.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I love Tool. Don't get me wrong. Like, Undertow's the shit. Opiate's probably my second favorite. I mean, yikes. I know that's only an EP, but when I was younger, I hated that pedestal that they were on because everybody was like so into Tool and like they're the best ever. And it's like, eh.
No.
I had to get into them a little bit through a different avenue, and that was a Perfect Circle. But the new A Perfect Circle sucks.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. I've heard a couple songs.
I've not listened
to one. I don't care.
I'm not a fan.
What about that new We Don't Keep Count, Dolphins in Lake George?
I don't know. You tell us.
Just putting it out there. Remember that.
That's
a
new
album. That's a joke.
Yes.
There's dolphins in Lake George.
There's dolphins in Lake George.
Real song about it. Like to hear. Here we go.
That's how we go. But yeah, man. So Lateralis, it's dope.
It's a masterpiece.
Some really, really good times. How about some background on it, Nick? I mean, I know you got a little. I know you got the scoop. So what you got?
It was produced by David Bottrell, who has done like a bunch of. I mean, I guess it depends on what you're into, but he did some King Crimson records, who are huge like Tool influences. He did later Smashing Pumpkin stuff, Silverchair stuff.
What's Silverchair?
I don't know. You don't like Silverchair? Is that what we're getting into now?
No,
I don't know. I actually have them
on my iPod.
What?
I'll go.
It was. We're talking like 2012, 2013 Silverchair, not the good
not
stuff.
Not like Frog Stomp or nothing.
No.
I even like Neon Ballroom somewhat.
But he produced Coheed and Cambria's Apollo, Good Apollo, Volume 1.
Valkyrie!
Which is probably like, it's got to be in my top five favorite albums of all time.
Wow, that's a bold
and,
statement.
And we're talking about the same guy. And he did Circus Survives, Blue Sky Noise, which is another huge album for me.
But was this his first big album?
No, he did. No? He produced Enema and Salival. They're kind of like half live cover weird.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. That's Salival. I'm glad you brought that up.
David Bottrell did that too.
Best cover song, one of the best
no
covers.
Quarter.
No Quarter. Exactly. I've ever heard
totally
by any
agree.
Band.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Like it's the same, but they made it their own at the same time. Like,
it's really the only track on Salival that I like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
the rest of it's kind of like weird, wishy-washy
artsy,
garbage.
There we go. Don't go.
wasn't there a lot of live stuff on there?
Yeah. Mostly live.
It was,
stuff.
Didn't they do
Maynard's Dick was on there too?
Yes.
Didn't they do Diary of a Madman? But like through
no,
like
that
a
was
Cure
a perfect
song?
Circle. That was
okay.
A perfect
watch
circle.
It. Yeah. Watch your mouth.
Going back to the Napster.
That was that
days,
weird.
Dude,
yeah, that
us.
Was that weird. Perfect Circle cover album. They did like John Lennon songs and stuff.
Yeah, but this was back in the day. Like Wallace said, it was early Napster stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. We used Diary of a Madman. They did that. They did.
But it was they played Cure. They played the Cure, but then he did Diary of a Madman by.
Yeah.
Was it Ozzy or who? I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know either. But speaking of Napster, this is why they came up with that fake name. What we were talking about earlier. What is it like? Systematica.
Oh yeah,
some bullshit.
Enchilada.
That was Tool just trolling everybody. Like the day they finished recording, they released a fake track listing and a fake album name just to get people like searching for it on Napster, and they found shit. Like people went on Napster and found like a bunch of bogus. I mean, I don't know what these songs were, but
dude,
they were Tool songs.
Yeah, hearing downloading stuff and thinking it was Tool, but it was a band I think you liked. You know what I'm talking about.
It was Chevelle's first album.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, there was one song that really made me like, man, that could fucking be Maynard. This is back in the day where you don't know. You were still using dial-up and shit, you know?
Yeah, you didn't know.
I've always said that FML. Chevelle should be called We Wanna Be Tool.
Yeah, mixed with a little flavor.
That's why I don't like them.
I like Chevelle. I like Chevelle.
Be honest.
I like
Chevelle. Be your own, you know?
Be your own thing. But Yeah, I mean, that was the producer. Anything else?
Yeah, I don't know. I know that they recorded a lot of you have like Mantra on there, which is Maynard squeezing his cat in slow motion. Track 4.
Where's you know what Pete I'm talking about?
It's just like,
that's his cat.
He's squeezing his cat. And they slowed it down.
I never knew that.
Track 2, Eon Blue Apocalypse, that guitar track that Adam Jones wrote about he had a dog named Eon Blue that died of cancer, and he wrote that song. They wrote a lot of those like little 1 or 2 minute musical weird noise segues, and the record label gave them 80 minutes, and that record times in at like 79 minutes and 58 seconds.
Exactly.
They had 2 seconds to spare, so they cut like 4 or 5 tracks from that record of just weird shit going on in the background. You know?
I never knew that, because out of all Tool's albums, you know, they kind of get disconnected and they make a lot of noise and artsy fartsy stuff. Nick, you said you didn't agree with that earlier, but this one was the best package.
It's the most music for your money. I'll agree with that.
Well, yeah.
Yes, because I mean, you could listen to a lot of these songs and it's just like the first, I don't know, it goes.
It's noodling, dude. I'm a big Zappa fan. It's the same way, dude. You know, these dudes are just getting into their music, man. And if you can't accept that and take that ride, then, you know, hey, more power to you, but it ain't for you.
No, yeah, I'm with you. It's, you know, it's all about...
it is artsy fartsy, but it, dude, I could sit there and appreciate the shit out of
that. I'm just saying
the
last 3 tracks on this album.
Oh, like, totally.
Yeah,
well,
but
okay.
Tool as a band. 10,000 Days and even Enema a little bit. There's a little. There's
Are you guys worried about what the new Tool album
is going
to
sound
like?
Can we get to that later now? Because I got to talk on your point here. That last track. Yeah. Every Tool album has a Danny Carey song that he does kind of by himself. He samples weird shit and he kind of puts the track together himself. And that's that last song with the coast to coast, the samples from that dude talking about like Area 51.
Yeah, my grandma loves him. Art Bell.
Yeah, from Art Bell's Coast to Coast.
Shout out to Grandma Riley. She loves Art Bell.
That's the Danny Carey track on that record. And that's the last track on that record, yeah.
Oh, that's what that is.
But he does it on every one. So if every time, you know, if you're not really that into Tool and you're listening to a Tool album, and there's that one song where you're just like, what is this noise? It's Danny Carey doing whatever he wants. You know, they give him that one opportunity to do weird shit.
Songwriting, though, on this, like, it's a great written, like, album musically.
It's rock and roll, man.
It's rock and roll.
Yeah,
I listened to it today the first time in a long time, because with Tool, they're not on any streaming thing, period,
no,
right?
You can't
like,
get their music anywhere.
It's about to change.
Yeah, they're not on they're on YouTube, but they're not on Spotify.
They're trying to make
that.
A statement, you know?
You're right.
Or make
now they're
money.
Old and now they're old and soft. No, they're trying to make a statement, and now they're old and soft. And Adam Jones has already been like, you know, this new album, you can buy it on iTunes. When it finally comes out, we're over it. We said what we needed to say, and now it is about the money.
I really don't want it on iTunes.
Yeah, I don't care. No, I want any music to be available anyway. As long as there's some, I don't care if my shit's on iTunes. If I get a couple bucks off a purchase, that's great, because that's just another way that my music is getting out.
My biggest beef is
that
I can't play Tool at the bar because it's not on the jukebox.
Exactly.
Because it's not. That's the only reason I care about it.
Yeah, but I like Tool being the only artist, like, or record.
I mean, I'm with you. Sure.
In a CD player, or
but do you like Kanye West? Because that's what that douchebag does.
Oh man, that doo-doo Brown.
Just give me shit.
That doo-doo Brown.
But it puts it into perspective, like. I think they have a pretentious thing. And here's the thing. I love Tool, but here's another thing where they take themselves a little bit too seriously. They're touring as a band this spring and this summer, but as Tool, showing people just the band, but how to play Tool.
Hey, I was going to say that.
What
they're in
that?
Chicago tonight.
Are they?
We're talking about
like
this tonight.
Bucks.
Yeah. It
See,
was
that's
a lot
bullshit.
We're talking about it night before the
band. Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
I would think it is.
Because if they're dudes, they played like a fake Tool. I mean,
we
it's a real
think,
Tool
dude,
song,
listen.
But some new Tool
song.
Oh,
sure.
And it was like, this is a VIP event.
Yeah, right.
Meet and greet. We'll show you how to play Tool songs.
Yeah, they do that because people, I mean, dude, since we were kids, they've been in all the drum, bass player, guitar magazines. If
they're
they can get
notch,
paid,
yeah,
they're top-notch musicians, and they're basically giving you a, what would you call that?
A totally exclusive one-on-one experience, man.
Well, yeah, experience, presentation or whatever. Like, Dweezil Zappa does a lot of shit like that. Like, workshops is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Which is really cool, because you can pick their fucking brains, you
Listen,
know?
Listen, I
they
wanted
money.
To go. I wanted to be there.
I totally disagree.
Instead, we're doing
I
this.
I think it's pretentious. I
think that, though, too.
I
totally think
go
that.
To,
no, they're I agree with you, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how about this? As a Tool fan, like we all are in this room, put out an album and don't take 15 years to do it. Put it out.
Don't,
there was all kinds of supposed legalities.
Drama.
Oh, yeah, well,
just like when Lateralis came out and said with their record label there was a bunch of shit going on with Volcano.
That was their last one with Volcano.
Yeah,
because of that.
Just because, like with sports, you know, what have you
sports.
Done? What have you done for me lately? And I do that a lot with my musical artists that I like. Tool hasn't done shit for
this
me
is,
lately.
Wait a minute. This is what I think. Okay. This is what I think. I think it's a little bit pretentious, but I think that every Tool fan and everyone agrees with you. And this is their way of being like, look, I mean, maybe $500 is a lot of money, but this is their way of saying, okay, we want to give you something. They understand that it takes them too fucking long to make a record. And they understand that their creative process, and if you think that's pretentious, that's one thing, but it takes them a long time to make a record. And they're finally saying, here's something in the meantime. To hold you over, because everyone's mad like you are that there's no new Tool record.
That's a good point. And here's the thing. Maynard came on Joe Rogan.
He came on him?
I thought it was Joe Riley.
This guy's got the scoop.
He came on Joe Rogan.
I thought Maynard was going to be here tonight.
Yeah, right?
Oh.
But remember, he was placing the blame on them. Like, they take forever.
You know what's funny is that someone filmed something last night from something they were doing, and he did a rant. He was like,
so here's the question. Is Maynard saying that because he's the one that doesn't have his shit together? Because it sounds like what you just mentioned, Tool.
He's got the venues, dog.
Tool is going out to the fans and they're performing and showing them how to play the songs or whatever they're doing.
This is what I think.
But Maynard isn't there. So is it Maynard's fault? Or is it the band's fault?
Maynard's dick.
I think it takes the other guys 10 years to make a record. And I think Maynard comes in at the end. And he just does what he does, and
that's what I heard.
And it's great.
He did some interviews basically saying that recently. He's like, I had vocals all the way done, and these guys didn't like the music, so I had to rewrite all the vocals.
And I think
that was on Rogan.
Yeah, that's what he said on Rogan.
I think that's what his rant was about. Was like,
Rogan.
He said, I want to take off this riot gear. Like, people are coming at me. He was. I think the thing started. He was like, I don't like bananas or tomatoes because everyone's throwing them at me, and I want to take off this riot gear because I'm sick of people blaming me for this. Because he does have a lot going on.
Well, if the band has enough time to show people how to play sober, they should really focus on putting out an album.
Listen to a song called "Sober" from a guy who owns a vineyard.
I'm being harsh. I love Tool, but let's put out some content.
We could joke on them, though. They're joking on us for 12 years.
That's
you know?
The thing, too.
But
man.
I'm not going to be a sucker and buy a $500 ticket to watch
them.
That.
That's
thing.
Fair.
That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
That's all I'm saying.
But that shit was sold out. So there's plenty
of
people.
Right?
there's plenty of people.
They're always going to sell out, though. They're at like the status where, dude, if Pink Floyd announced tomorrow, they're going to play. Anywhere,
yeah,
it's
right.
It's sold out.
We're gonna play with our dicks on stage. Yeah. It costs $500. You would be there.
Transition into that. That's a really good point. Transition to the fact, like, they are a classic rock group, and I used to talk to my dad a lot about Tool. And my dad and I, like, we saw them before live.
Admit this.
Hold on one second. Hold on.
Isn't it 20 years? 20 years is.
But they are
classic.
They are like the new Pink Floyd.
Yeah,
the newer our generation's Pink Floyd.
Exactly.
Right? I mean. You know,
it sucks to admit that, though, because it makes you feel old, dude. That's
Damn. I mean, it's 17 years old tomorrow. Their third studio album.
I always thought of them as like a more heavy metal Pink Floyd.
Yeah, Pink Floyd.
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, especially this album. To me, this Lateralis was the kind of shift. You know, I think we talked about it before. You were telling me how much you love Opiate and Undertow. And I'm like, yeah, you're a punk rock guy. You're a metal guy. That's why you like those records. Lateralis, I mean, a little bit on Enema. That's when Justin Chancellor came into the band and stuff started to change a little bit. I really liked
Enema.
No, I love that record, too. But Lateralis was the shift of like, okay, now we're and now you're saying like, well, those songs are fucking solid. Like maybe even more solid than those like grungy, weird
solid logs.
Yeah. And like you guys were saying, like the last track is Danny Carey's track with Third Eye. You kind of got a taste of Lateralis.
Sure.
I thought.
Yeah. They were definitely on that road, and then they fucking nailed it. And then 10,000 Days got a little too far in that direction, and we'll see.
Someone
what happens
said
the
it
next
sounded like Godsmack back in the day. So I remember someone. When
I mean, I love that record, but I mean, if there's
the chugging, didn't.
Well, I'm not going to agree with it. It sounded like Godsmack.
Yeah. No. Yeah, but if there's a transition there, like, you know, some of the Enema stuff is like they were moving in a direction. Lateralis was, I don't want to say the peak because 10,000 Days is a great record, but Lateralis is like they found their footing. This is what they're doing as a band, and then they kind of kept going that way for 10,000 Days, and it got a little bit further away from who they were. You know, if you're a Tool fan, you love it all. But people who love who love Opiate do not love 10,000 Days. It's a different band, you know, and Lateralis was in that sweet spot in the middle kind of when they were, you know,
it's their best
figuring
album
it out.
Because there's less noise. There's less. It's a great album because there's a ton of, I don't know, songs that just make sense and just less, you know,
actual
dial
songs.
Tones. Yeah,
actual
just
songs.
Actual
lots
written
of things
songs.
Get high too.
What's that?
Nothing.
But yeah, man, that's good shit. Good shit. As far as, I don't know, the record sales, wasn't it?
Like, it went double platinum in the U.S. And then Justin was saying something about them. Australia was platinum. Right.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Some they were like silver.
Europe.
They were like platinum.
I know it was double platinum
like
in U.S.
Probably gold now.
A little goldish.
Goldish? It's a dope selling album. I can't pull it up right now. I'm inebriated, bro.
That's okay. I know. They definitely went double platinum in right. the U.S. Like right away.
Well, let's go through the track list.
Sure.
Let's go through the track list.
Wear the grudge like a crown, motherfucker.
We're going through the grudge. What y'all feel about the grudge?
It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Great opening track.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
Do it.
No.
Do the vocals.
It's not going to happen.
Do it.
I should have brought
you
my
can't cue me up. I'm not your jaw.
Eon Blue, that's instrumental. It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just Adam Jones's little...
Dr. Jones!
Little thing to his dead dog. Little song for
that's,
his dead
that's
dog.
That's for his dead dog?
Yeah, that song used to make me dizzy.
What were you up to back then in 2001 yeah, right. for it to make you dizzy?
What were you on?
What were you on in 2001?
Why don't you have a seat?
Let's just say I liked feeling dizzy back then.
Did you look like Michael with your legs crossed like that?
Sophisticated.
My legs are crossed.
Yeah.
Zing. Zing.
Don't cross.
The patient is yeah. my Bible.
The patient is your Bible. How so?
Well, you know, what's the chorus? What's the chorus? This tedious path, you know.
Money.
He's talking about, you know, this is a lot of fucking hard work and it sucks. But, you know, at the end of the road, cool shit is happening if you power through and keep doing it. I almost feel like this whole record is about Tool breaking up. I mean, if we're going to talk about
lyrical
content. Yeah, the whole.
Yeah, we could go into that.
I mean, the whole every song is just progressively like Maynard saying. Yeah, I guess it's worth it. I know the pieces fit. This tedious path I've chosen. You know what I mean?
I always like to make a little play. I love Tool, but I like to make a little
what?
A little spoof on the lyrics to that. I know my penis fits.
Oh. Yeah, not bad. That's good. Thanks, Michael.
Maggle.
Don't say thanks, Michael's if I just...
Schism.
Grammy. Schism. Won a Grammy for
it. I don't
a Grammy?
You know, that's a song when it comes on the radio. I don't mind listening to it. You know, I never, okay. like, we were talking about on
good,
the Deftones.
Because we're talking
one.
About
that's
how
one that
much
doesn't get
we
old.
Love Tool.
Like a single, though. You know, you get, I don't care what bands you love, you get sick of singles. And I never got sick of Schism.
It's a great
you
song.
Know?
That's funny you said that because I skipped it today when I listened
did
to the
you?
Album.
Oh, come
I did.
On.
I skipped it.
Oh, man.
That was the first song I really skipped remember it. On the radio.
Yeah, like, no, I used to listen to Q101. All day long to hear
oh,
that
man.
Song
yeah,
five sorry. Or six times, you know.
The day it was supposed to premiere, I listened to Q101 all day to
trying
hear
to hear that
song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good. I mean, I wish we still had that. Those, you know, those radio stations with some rock and roll. Look at Stratton; he's looking at me. We might get that in the future, right, Stratton? We're gonna have our own rock and roll radio station.
We're starting a fund. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you guys need to fund us.
Gonna fund
everybody.
Fund
listening.
Us. But yeah, Schism. I skipped it today. I did. I put this
I'm
album
sorry.
On, you know, doing a little exercise, and I had to skip it. I've heard it a million times.
Yeah. Do you guys know about the, like, rearranged way to listen to this album?
Like backwards?
No, it's not backwards. I mean, I guess we're skipping ahead in track listing, but Lateralis was written, they use the Fibonacci sequence to, like, that's how the lyrics are laid out in the guitar. You know, they're very into, like, that geometry and that math way of, like, creating the spiral with the way they play or whatever. So some, like, rabid, crazy Tool fans ordered the record that way, and... It's a thing, like, and it actually sounds better. They came up with this theory about how they released the album one way, but they wanted you to go back and do the math to figure out the real way to listen to the album, and it was going to change your experience, and it was going to explain certain things, and I think that's a bunch of crazy Tool fan bullshit. I don't think that Tool did that. But if you listen to it in a certain way, look it up. It sounds better, like, the way that the tracks lead into one another and, like, kind of, sorry, I totally derailed this.
No,
but,
no. It makes so sense. Like, the way it came out.
That's how I've been listening to it for the past 2 days. Is this out of, I think they call it like the Holy Gift or something. It's some wow. ridiculous super fan crazy.
Never heard of it.
Nonsense. But it really, it's a really fun way to listen to the record.
They should have put it out that way.
And it makes Schism, Well, no, because that was not their intention. It was just some crazy shit somebody told the world about, and they're all like, oh, yeah, Tool's weird. They could have done that. But, it sounds cool, man. And I'm getting to that because the way that Schism is sandwiched in between other songs, I think Ticks and Leeches comes after it, and Parabola comes before it, and the way that those songs lead into each other is kind of beautiful.
That's a good blended
album. It's pimp tight.
It is pimp tight. It's a great, just a great blended album. Yeah. How do you say that? How do you say it?
Parable and Parabola.
Yeah.
Parabola.
Ticks and Leeches. That's my track. Leeches.
Yeah.
That's an angry
track.
Song.
It is a great track.
Yeah. You guys are mad. That's why. You guys are feel like you guys
we're
are
fucking
so
angry Orchard
angry about
guys.
Everything.
I'm never angry.
Angry Orchard. They're literally drinking
we're dilly
Angry
dilly
Orchard
right now. We're drinking
those
that Budweiser and Bud Light.
Are they? Are they your favorite album?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which ones?
Parable.
Oh, same.
The Ticks and Leeches.
And I like Lateralis because of that drum beat.
Yeah,
let's get into that. That drum beat and how it just builds up right off the bat. It's so good. Wallace, could you give us a little taste of how that sounds?
No, I can't.
All right, thanks. Wow. But,
then we get into the part of the album that you hate.
I know. It's right after that, isn't it?
It gets fartsy.
No, Disposition's okay. It's Reflection, Triad, and I don't even know how you say the last one.
Sexual Circle.
It's some weird occultian language for the voice of God, and that's the Danny Carey track where he uses the coast-to-coast stuff to whatever. That song's called The Voice of God. That's what I call it, because I don't know how to speak that language either.
Your eardrums just melt.
Just the voice of God. You've done wrong.
Danny Carey, you can't play God with me.
But yeah. Lateralis, man. That's a great album. I can't believe it's 17 years old.
That's crazy.
It can smoke next year.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, when it turns 18.
Can
it go to the military? Or what? What? We're getting old.
It could be gay in the military.
So happy birthday to Lateralis. Thanks, guys, for coming. Yeah, that's it. We're done.
Wow.
We're done.
Killing it.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Tool.
Adios. I love you. Long time.
You guys talk about
adios. I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated. That's right. I'm musically meditated.
Or my ass over there.